You know, my message this week was commitment without fear. I think sometimes all of us are just a little bit afraid to make a commitment, no matter what it may be. So I was thinking about that. So commitment can be something that is faithfulness. Commitment can be loyalty. But I think the achievement of any goal or purpose requires commitment, no matter what you do, for the good, or for the evil, for the bad. And the Bible speaks of commitment in both negative and positive ways. Committing a sin. Yeah, you can read about some of this stuff in Deuteronomy chapter 22. And then committing your way to the Lord, and you can find that in Psalm 37. I think each alternative involves making a decision or turning ourselves over to something or someone, you know, being focused, and sometimes costly perseverance. Judy and I was talking about perseverance this morning with our daily devotions that we do every morning together, and as we analyze ourselves and think about the world and all that kind of stuff, we made a commitment to do that. Now, sometimes we don't follow through with the commitment because maybe we have to go to the doctor, or they don't start out just right and it's too hectic and different things. But we try to make that commitment and do it every day. But each alternative involves making a decision. Well, maybe we can do it later or whatever. A decision of turning ourselves over to something or someone and be focused, and sometimes costly. Perseverance is hard. And then repeating the consequences or rewards of our commitment. And there are reward and consequences to our commitments, that's for sure. So commitments is a very broad-based understanding and learning about things that we should commit to. Commit to our hearts and our mind and our bodies is central to life of faith. In fact, faith devoid without commitment is dead. That's what basically James was talking about. Faith without works is dead. You got to have these commitments. But I think what the most important thing is, what does it mean to be committed to Christ? Jesus called out the disciples. He said, hey, guys, come and be my disciples. And, you know, they were fishing, and I will show you how to fish for people. And what they did is they left their nets at once and went with him. Now, that's really commitment. Commitment to follow Christ requires a decision of the mind, followed by an act of the will of what you're making a commitment to. They weren't sure about this guy Jesus, but they left everything that they had and made a commitment to be one of his disciples. I think that's the same thing with us when we have our faith confession and different things, and we make a commitment to follow Christ. It requires a decision of the mind followed by an act of our own will. Seek God is what you do and all you do. And then, you know, one of the promises, if you seek God in all you do, he'll direct your path through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That commitment to the Lord just sort of manifests itself in obedience and trust. Commitment to Christ is what we're all about. That's why we are called Christ followers. But being committed to Christ is costly, because to follow him is to leave lesser but very active things behind. Oh, that old world of sin I had to leave behind. Now, I'm still tempted and I still fall into that, but I made a commitment to keep my eyes on the mark of the high calling. And when I stumble and fall down, I repent. Lord, forgive me. That's what's the most beautiful thing about having a commitment with God Almighty through Christ, because commitment is being willing to suffer the consequences of obedience. You know, there is consequences in everything we do, both good or bad. And that's okay. That's what we do. The consequences can be analyzed, and we can look at them and then make a commitment to go forward in a better direction or whatever. Consequences is good. I like that. Truth or consequences. You remember that old television program? So commitment is more than just an intellectual agreement. It involves a sacrifice of giving the whole self. You can't, it's like, what's that old song? You get the one foot in and the one foot out, and you wiggle it all around, and you do the hoochie. I don't remember that song, but you gotta put your foot in. You gotta make a commitment, and it's hard. I don't make no light of it. It's hard to have a commitment to a spouse, commitment to work or any kind of anything else. But the most important thing is to be committed to the one who created you, the Lord God Almighty. Commitment's never easy. I agree with that. And it's contagious, and it takes a lot of courage. And then we have that thing called perseverance, to persevere through. So, why is commitment hard? Well, it's hard. Why? I don't know, but it's hard. So what can you do if you broke a commitment? You know, the only sin that can't be forgiven is the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. Now, this comes out of Ralphism. I humbly think that what that means is shutting God completely out of your life. There's some people that manage to do that, but we're spiritual beings, and God's spiritual being, and like Wesley said, he's always wooing us into that love relationship with him. So what happens if you accept Christ and then you bow out and you break that commitment? Well, if we break a commitment we have made together, we have broken a trust. That's what we did. And the only thing to do is to admit that you were wrong and ask the other person or God to forgive you. We call that repentance. I think I repent 1,000 times a day. Now I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I'm always sticking my foot in my mouth all the time. So I have to constantly be aware and repent, because I'm my own worst enemy. I don't know about you, but I'm my own worst enemy. So, as we were thinking about commitment, think about this. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, "Those committed to God find renewal strength." And then over in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "Those committed to God will share in all of his riches." Wow, all of the riches. The most important riches is the gift of being with God forever and ever. That gift of eternal life. If you only believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and you will have eternal life. I just like that for a couple of reasons. This old body's wearing out, and I love life and everything within me. I love life, but it's not... The body sometimes don't want to cooperate, but what I do know is that when this body is all used up and I trust in the Lord and my spirit departs to be with his spirit, I go home to heaven to spend eternity. What Jesus promised us, "I go to prepare a place for you." Some translations said, "I go to prepare a resting place for you." I like that. Some translations, "I go to prepare a mansion," and whatever, but I like that one. "I go to prepare a resting place for you." When this old physical life is over, wow, what a promise to look forward to. A resting place. Well, it's also not only pastor's thoughts and prayers, as you heard my thoughts about stuff, and then we also have time that we pray and we think about things. And you don't need a 1-800 number or anything else. I keep telling folks, learn to pray. Learn to talk to God. Learn to talk to him out loud. Learn to talk to him spiritually. You can have silent prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. Because Satan can play tricks on your mind, but he cannot read your mind. God knows your heart or your mind or your intellect. So just come into a prayer of agreement with him for and say, get thee behind me, Satan. I got to talk to Daddy today. That's what you do. That's what Jesus did. A little bit of silliness, but that's really what happened when he was tempted in the wilderness in Luke chapter 4. He told him, okay, God, you're done tempting me now. You know, I know I could turn that rock into bread. I know I could do this and I could do that. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. And I think it's also he don't need to be tempting the Lord thy God's people, because we're part of his kingdom. So get thee behind me, Satan. I love it. So we come in a prayer of agreement with and for all the people that's on the prayer concerns that you can see if you click on the prayer and thoughts and pastor's prayers and thoughts, and you'll get all the prayer concerns that we know about that's in the bullet. But this is a particular time of the year when we just got to clean it off and start all over. So if you want something added or something that needs to be taken off, let Phil know or myself know. And we do pray, and we do have a prayer of intercession. We have a lot of prayer warriors and with those that are in need of a touch of God. And we do say the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is an important part of our faith relationship because he always went off by himself. And they said, Lord, what do you do when you go off by yourself? He said, I talk to Daddy. Can we do that? He said, yeah, let me give you a prayer. And he said, use this for a model prayer. Say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hope and pray you had a wonderful day, and thank you for letting old Ralphie share his thoughts and prayers today. Have a good day.